You're listening to the Insurance Podcast with Pete Tessier, the podcast where no claim is unfounded.
Stuart Bruce is the guest on this episode of the Insurance Podcast. A serial entrepreneur, a CPA, and an honors MBA holder, Stuart started Insurance Pay Canada, which is now First Insurance Funding, back in 2001. By building the finance management system, the team, and broker network from a startup position, he turned First Insurance Funding into one of the largest premium finance companies in Canada. One thing I've learned about successful entrepreneurs is that when they speak, you should probably listen. Stuart explains how he saw opportunities within the broker channel that started with the question, how would you like to pay for that? And moved on to making payment financing a seamless transaction. Stuart also expounds on how the role of the intermediary is going to change and that the death of the broker channel is absolutely false. Sit back and get ready to learn about seamless payment financing, the real-time service a broker can add, and how Stuart Bruce and First Insurance Funding may have seen the future for brokers before anyone else did, but actually started to be the future. And welcome to the show, Stuart. Great to have you on. Really appreciate you taking the time to join the Insurance Podcast today. Let's get right to the heart of the matter. I'm going to ask you a few things about First Insurance, where the company's at, what your role is, and what you're trying to do. First Insurance would appear to look like a lender and a financing platform for brokers, MGAs, but that couldn't be further from the truth. How is the company diversified? What makes it different from other insurance finance companies?
Well, thanks, Peter. Appreciate being on the show. First has always been historically been a premium finance company. And years ago, we decided that premium financing was only one aspect of the solution that the brokers needed. They need to understand how to ask the question, how do you want to pay for that? And that's a simple question that most industries ask when they're checking out a client. But that's not necessarily what the insurance industry is used to. I've been always been shocked at how little of that question that is asked of the clients when an insurance product is sold. So we've aimed to provide an industry solution that provides the broker the ability to handle that question and handle it really, really well.
I think you said a really interesting point there, Stuart, in the question when you finish a sale, and the hardest part of a sale is payment and asking for the sale. And you just said, how do you want to pay for that? What led you to that point of saying this is an area that we can provide a solution to brokers? What was that sort of light bulb moment, if there was one?
Yeah, actually, Peter, I'm as you know, I'm an entrepreneur, and the current iteration of the company at First Insurance Funding has basically the assembly of a couple of initiatives that I've gone through. And really, it was initially very much a competitive change, trying to diversify what we were doing at PolicyBill, which is a company that merged into First Insurance Funding. And it was very much a competitive positioning to say, hey, how do we diversify ourselves from just a capital provider in the premium finance space? So, but also from a lot of conversations with the CFOs I know in the industry, they've been challenged with this for a long time, and they need to know that they can focus on selling insurance and not worry about all the other methods of payments and getting the money in the door. And by the way, I don't think we've got it right yet. I think there's a lot of change that's coming down the pipe that will make it a lot more interesting and a lot more seamless for brokers.
That's a great opportunity to segue for something else that I think is very interesting about First Insurance, in that you have offered up APIs, which for those who don't understand what that is, that's an application programming interface, to your broker partners. Now, what sort of put you into that area of going down that technology route, and has it sort of led to successes where you didn't expect them or met your expectations?
Yeah, ever since the company was born 18 years ago, we've had a commitment to technology. And about 5 years ago or so, we saw that the need to make sure that the brokers can interact with us electronically. About 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, we set about developing a library of APIs that we could tie into the broker management systems online presentment solutions that brokers were coming up with. And it's very much, you know, there's still a lot more to do, but we can do a seamless transaction in our systems using APIs, application programming interfaces. And I think the future of the industry is the golden egg that at the end of this is to actually have everything start and stop in the PMS. And that means whether it's happening on the web, whether it's happening in person with a broker, or it's happening in any way, shape, or form, it's all starting and stopping and being managed through a single interface for the broker. So our APIs allow that to happen. And so those are kind of the building blocks of what we ultimately want to get to, and that's the seamless relationship with the broker network.
You really did hit one of the key issues in the broker-insurer relationship, their inability to find a seamless way to work between carriers and BMSs. And now you're providing a financing solution that makes it seamless for the broker. That is an invaluable tool. And any broker who listens to the podcast will know how difficult it is to actually do the process of taking money and then getting it to the carrier and paying yourself. So anything that's adding a particularly digital and online presentation of that workflow has to be a boon to people. Now, with the BMS system, do you find that there are some who are more keen to get involved as opposed to others who are sitting back and trying to sort of maybe prioritize where the seamless connected workflow with carriers and say companies like yourself is?
Yeah, it's a complex relationship between the carriers, the brokers, and third-party vendors. And certainly what we're aiming for at least the brokers are challenged with also different types of policy presentment, so whether it be direct bill or agency bill. And we're very much focused on the agency build product and giving those multiple payment solutions. So whether the broker actually doesn't really, I don't think, really bothers with whether the client pays monthly, pays by credit card, pays through a mobile app. They really just want to get paid at the end of the day and then be able to process the money through to the carrier. And I think that relationship, that payment relationship, is an undervalued solution that the brokers need to start to put a little bit more forward thinking. Billing and payments is a third of the conversations with the client, and the broker needs to be part of that conversation. And certainly that's what we're trying to provide them. And all the technology is really just geared to solve that.
Payments and brokers are basically a nightmare in so many capacities. And I think it's very wise that you focus on the agency bill capacity, because if you look at all the different carrier variables for brokers, they have so many in the way that the money comes in the front door and how it has to leave the back. Now, as a former broker, and I say this in every podcast because some people know it, some many don't, you know, I was going to say, ask you, the efficiency level of that agency bill payment is part and parcel of what makes things in a broker's office inefficient. Now, I've asked this of John Kanodic with ClearPay, who I believe you know. Does the First Insurance technology make a measurable difference in efficiencies for the brokerage office and brokerage in general?
Yeah, I think, Peter, as you said, the payments has always been difficult in a broker's office. And certainly we've partnered with companies like ClearPay so that when the money comes into the brokerage through whatever payment method that we're providing, it's a seamless process to move it through to the carrier using ClearPay. And kind of defining those two spaces, we've worked hard at to make sure that there's a connectivity there that can happen so that it automatically flows through and is part of the BMS. Appropriate reconciliation is available, but gives the power of the connectivity to the client to stay with the broker. And I think direct bill was a good idea at the time. And I think that there may be a time now that brokers take a look at that and say, I'd rather be the conduit in the conversation with the client for all their risk needs. And you know what that means? Us taking on payments. But they can't do that unless they have the right tools. And that's what we've worked hard to create. At the end of the day, the client still needs to have the option of spreading their insurance over time, and that's where the financing element comes in. What we bet several several years ago that you would have there may be a little bit of competition between receiving mobile payments or credit card payments or financing. And I actually had this conversation with the chairman of our bank. Yeah, he was concerned that it would be taking away from the financing element. But in fact, it's actually driven more financing for us. All the client needs is the options. Once a client's happy, then the broker's back office, we're working with third parties like ClearPay to make sure that that becomes very efficient, and the BMS vendors, of course.
So in the aspect of how we're seeing technology disruption in the insurance channel, you sort of play into that a little bit, but you're also providing a solution for the roles of brokers and intermediary. On my last podcast, I had Alistair Campbell, formerly of a few insurance companies, now with Box Insurance. And Alistair really touched on the idea of how insurance brokers are in a state of flux change because intermediaries are changing and the consumer now has direct access to capital, whether it be banking capital, insurance capital, which is what an insurance product is. For yourself, you've now sort of given the broker a better value proposition, allowing them to put their consumers or their customers in access to capital. Is that a great way of sort of describing what you've achieved with the online tools and the functionality of First Insurance?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's I've got a lot of respect for Alistair. He's a great operator, and I think there's definitely some merit there. And I think the first is trying to keep the role of the intermediary is absolutely going to change, but I think it's going to change for the better. And I think the idea that brokers are going out the door or they're on their way out, I think is not happening. And I think but their role will change. People's desire to have an understanding and somebody in their corner to help them muddle through what their risk exposures are, where the appropriate coverage is, that's never going to go away, I don't think. And efficiently processing that from an intermediary is critical. We're part of that solution that the brokers will need to fight off disruption in the marketplace. And I think a lot of the brokers are creating their own disruption, which is a really positive thing. And we're certainly, the insurance marketplace is a big marketplace that's very well entrenched, highly regulated, and I don't think it's going to change drastically anytime soon. But there is a clock ticking and brokers need to pay attention to that. And so we want to be there. I mean, we're 100% committed, not just committed, our business model is 100% committed to brokers. And so we're reliant on the success of the broker channel 100%. So I want to make sure that we're supporting their evolution to the next their next phase.
You touched on the dirty D word, disruption. And that's a sensitive subject in the insurtech and fintech world, but it's a necessary word to use because it is being disrupted. With the funding side of the broker intermediary channel, where else is there to go? Maybe not necessarily with First Insurance funding, but other companies that you've seen or heard about, are there things that we should expect to change soon?
Yeah, I think I've just started toying around in the blockchain space. There is lots of changes coming down the pipe in the Canadian Payments Association and how payments can be made in Canada. You've got open banking happening. I think it's going to go very, very slow in Canada. But once that starts to happen, there's going to be brand new ideas and brand new processes that I come across. But yeah, I think blockchain will be the distributed ledger technology will be the biggest change to insurance in the next 5 years. I there's some naysayers out there, but what I understand, it will be significant because it's just a better way of transacting than what we've done traditionally with closed relational databases. I've kind of focused on that area. I've started looking at what's happening in quantum computing, but I think that's a long way away. But certainly, there's changes coming there. And as I said, the insurance industry is a very established, entrenched place. You've got a broker channel that's fabulous entrepreneurs that are not going to roll over for anybody. But the tools are going to have to change, and certainly how we use tools are going to change.
talking about blockchain can be very intimidating for many people. They don't quite understand what its role is. And you obviously do, because you're looking at it from a research point of view as to how you can enable it or incorporate it and what its role may be for First Insurance. For anyone who doesn't really understand it, it's simply an online public ledger that can't be alterated at its core essence. And it sort of expands out from there. One of the things you guys have done is you've adopted e-signature technology, which maybe for some people is sort of a precursor to what blockchain is, in that it's a transparent, open way of getting your authority to a contract that can be kept together between both parties without involving things like being in person, fax machines, and old school ways. How has e-signatures changed the effectiveness of some of your contracts and the sales process for your broker partners?
Yeah, I think the we've been doing e-signatures now for about 8 years. We were first in Canada to do it from a premium finance payment standpoint, and I think what we've seen is the way in which the interaction can happen with a client. And it's just, I mean, the story from the other day, we got a raving email from a broker just saying how wonderful the service is. And again, we've had this available for 8 years, but it was the very first time she's actually used it. And she had a client that was on the road, couldn't get back into the office. She had negotiated or talked through the insurance coverage on the phone. She was able to send a policy through and any information that she needed to from a brokerage perspective. And then she said, how do you want to pay for that? And she sent the link. We have a payments link that brokers can create that has a limited lifespan, and it's specific to a client. The client just clicks and decides whether to pay credit card monthly. They pay monthly, they sign right there on their phone, and the contract's in place and the broker gets paid. She couldn't believe that could happen. So that means the client didn't have to come to the office. She didn't have to go out to the client, and the whole transaction happened in a short phone call. Well, that's one step, and I think when you refer to blockchain, I envision that the client signature can happen as part of the process with the broker that establishes what the broker's authority is over the client, and that could include payments, and so the broker would just receive a response from us that tells them how or requests how they want to pay for that without any further signatures. And I think that sharing of data, and you mentioned public ledgers, and I think there's going to be a combination of public ledgers and private ledgers, and the client gets power to allow certain individuals to come into their own information. But from an insurance and intermediary and third party perspective, the connectivity starts to become very, very fast and very, very secure. So I know a premium finance contract that I'm writing on a policy, I know the policy exists because I can see it on the Aviva's or carrier site. So it's a somewhat open public and mostly closed environment that I envision blockchain really kind of thriving in our space.
Do you think blockchain has a future with some of the issues of real-time connectivity that BMS vendors have with insurance carriers?
Well, that's a loaded question. Yes and no. I think there's. I think we had to rethink the entire process because that real-time connectivity is a result of closed-down relational databases within entities, and so that real-time connectivity is really based on that old architecture. So yes, that issue needs to be resolved, and I'm certainly working with and committed to the IBAO project and. And the rest of the IBAC and TICs, we need to have that in the short term. And I think in the long term, that whole notion completely goes away. I think it gets replaced by an infrastructure that's just different in how it relates things to one another.
Right. I remember back when I was on IBAC and on the tech committee, I mean, the big thing was TLS or TSL transport socket layer was the big thing for everyone. At least the first, I mean, you sort of laugh, but that's literally how far it's come in terms of 5 years now. And sadly, you know, between brokers and carriers and BMS vendors, it hasn't really moved at all. And I think it's a great step for IBAO to step in and take a public position with all the various partners and bring them together to say, we've got to identify this problem and move forward with it. It's nice to hear that someone like a company like yourself is working with them. And again, as a former broker, that's going to be the future for brokers, is them embracing and putting pressure on not just their BMS vendor and not just the carrier, but all their side partners as well to come to the table to work together. Do you think there's a positive sort of outlook on this? And where do you think they take this next to make that real-time connectivity happen?
Well, I think certainly I applaud what Colin and the rest of the IBAO team are doing locally here in Ontario, and I think there's other projects similar going on elsewhere. I love the, and we've been committed to this as First Insurance Funding has been committed to a broker workflow, like us not recreating workflows for the broker, but actually plugging our solution into their workflows. And I think a broker-centric workflow is critical to understanding how all the pieces work for a broker. And that's sometimes hard to figure out as you're from a carrier's position. You want to accomplish your goals. A broker has certain needs for accomplishing what they want to do. And I think what the project is doing is actually bringing all those together to say, well, wait a minute, it doesn't actually work for a broker when you do it this way. And I love that. And I think that's going to be the definitely the future. I do think IBAO has been able to do some really fantastic way of bringing the industry together on this. And so, you know, they're in the next phase to really evaluate whether we need to build something or whether it's existing, and whether to move forward with it. But I have a lot of faith that it will go through to a next level, because it's kind of a, if you want the broker channel to thrive, you need that connectivity. And I know it's a difficult thing. It's bringing a lot of moving parts together. But certainly, they've got all the right people in the room and a lot of commitment. So we're fully supportive of it.
You talked about connectivity, and one of the things I'm going to segue into here is First Insurance Funding has a very interesting social media approach. I've been following you guys on social media for some time now, and one of the things I've noticed is that you use a very interesting tactic of engaging people in sort of a digital social medium. But you really promote a lot of one-on-one relationship building events particularly through your Twitter account. And it's been a trend as we go through sort of conference season with all the various associations that happen, particularly out in Western Canada. How much value is that provided back to the company in terms of working and networking with brokers at that level?
We've got a fabulous marketing team, and they like a lot of other people in our, almost all people in our organization, are curious and they're looking for what is the latest learnings on how people interact, how does social media can provide more value in that space. It's provided a sensational backdrop for all that our relationship managers are doing in the field. I don't have any stats in front of me, but the number of hits we get on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter is fabulous. And so I will continue to pursue that. We've invested in that space quite a bit, and it definitely provides value, no doubt about it. We did an analysis a few years ago about what we were spending on paper advertising and what we were doing online. And the actual interaction that you got online was tremendous. Now, a lot of the stuff on paper, you can't, in magazines, you can't really get a hard way of understanding how many eyeballs you're getting and that sort of thing. But it certainly was, it showed us the great value you can get for really engaging with the our clients, the brokers, engaging with them where they want to engage. And I think that goes the same with brokers and their clients. Brokers engaging with their brokers where the clients are, and that's kind of a combination of online, in person, at community functions, at the local hockey arenas, and certainly online.
Yeah, we're all entering into this world that we're not sure where it's going to lead us to, and I think in traditional advertising, we know what it wanted. We know where we wanted to be led to. But this one, with all the different avenues of communication and forums, even across the social media gamut, is still a little mysterious, even for the very experienced, because it changes so fast. Now, speaking of change, I asked this of all my guests, and we'll do the same with you now. With the pace of change finally hitting the insurance sector, as it has with many other sectors, particularly in finance and banking, we know what it's done with that. What do you see the insurance landscape looking like in 5 or even 10 years from now?
Yeah, my crystal ball is a little fuzzy, but comment a little bit. I think, as I said earlier, I think the death of the broker channel is absolutely false. I think, you know, you see in other jurisdictions, it gets hit a little bit for a little while. But ultimately, those sophisticated entrepreneurs and savvy entrepreneurs in the broker channel, they pivot, they work their way through the understanding. And this is, I think, where we're at right now, where a lot of brokers are educating themselves. I've never seen brokers so excited and more interested in technology than they are in the last couple of years. You know, 8-10 years ago, talking to brokers, it was don't worry about it. We've got our BMS and everything's going to be fine. And because it was fine, and I think it still is quite fine. But I think brokers are starting to realize that it's not going to be fine in a couple of years. So I think if they're not engaging with their clients on mobile devices, if they're not providing that risk service to a risk management service to their clients, somebody else will. And you know, I envision in a year from now or 2 years from now, a client being able to, and some of this is actually live today, but the ability to say, hey, you're close to an airport, are you traveling? Do you have insurance? And that comes up on your phone, you know, or hey, your kids just turned 16. Congratulations. Don't worry, you're covered. Your kid's covered for insurance on your policy until they get their full license. Whatever it is, you being the one, the broker being the one to provide that. And then also click to pay and it's simple. We're not quite there yet. We're working with and engaged with all these different companies to make sure that we're embedded into those processes, because I think payments is important. And FIRST will certainly be involved in all those, as many of those projects as we possibly can. But brokers definitely aren't going away. I think that's one point that I've got. And then I think the prevalence of large-scale blockchains is going to be significant in the near future. I mean, there's the networks that are built up already that are supported by large institutions. That's kind of the first layer that needed to be built. And then now it's entrepreneurs and idea people building out ideas onto those blockchains. You're not going to change the world in a year, but certainly the pace of change is going to start to increase, and blockchain will be a prevalent part of that. I actually had a conversation with my 15-year-old last night, and he was asking me, he's very savvy on the technical side, and he's teaching me a little bit more about quantum computing than I can teach myself. I said to him, where we are in blockchain right now is where I was at the internet in 1995. So, and it's going to go faster because it's already the concept of having multiple or distributed network wasn't there at all. The internet was kind of that idea of being able to transact that way. Well, blockchain is an extension of that, but it is going to change how we think about business and how we operate. And brand new business models will come out of it entirely, whether they're in the same industries or new industries come out of it entirely as well. But I said to him, we've got to come up with a way of staying on top of it so that he has a future in it. That's certainly on what I see. Certainly in less than a year, you're going to start seeing companies on it, and then you're going to see in 5 years major changes because of it. I mentioned quantum computing. I think we're probably 5 to 7 years away from what the experts are saying. I'm probably 50 to 70 years away from actually understanding it. I think you're going to start to listen. You're starting to hear people talk about being quantum ready. And one of the scariest things I learned just recently is that as soon as the first quantum computer is live in real production, that any of our encryption technologies for any bank that in the world will be able to be broken within 24 hours with a quantum computer. So being quantum ready becomes a very, very important piece to our overall economy and our stability of all us around us. Now, for how does it impact us in the insurance space? I'm not sure yet, but certainly being able to transact something that quickly, clients will expect things to happen very quickly. I mean, the fastest claims payment has happened in 10 seconds or something in Europe for a cancellation insurance on an airline ticket. And that was done on blockchain. Well, that can, rapidly done within many seconds on a quantum computer. So things will change in terms of reporting. Things will change from claims payments to claims management to issuance to all the aspects of insurance.
There's a lot to unpack there. Wow, Stuart, that's quite a load of information. You touched on so many things. I just came back from a vacation with my wife in San Francisco, and I was spending it with my family and my brother-in-law, who he's an executive with IBM, and he heads up the insurance division of the Watson AI program. And chatting with him, I mean, I had to literally empty my brain out after about half an hour and then start again, because what you learn with this quantum computing and artificial intelligence aspect is that what our future looks like, no one really knows, but they're about to change it and they're discovering it. And it's quite interesting. I don't have anything more to ask you. I mean, you've been a fabulous guest. You've absolutely provided content that I'll be happy to write about and promote, because this is a really enlightening conversation. And we'd like to have you back on in the future just to see where things change, maybe in 6 months or so, and find out what's new with First Insurance Funding.
Fabulous. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate being on.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to having you again. Take care, Stuart. If you are a broker owner, or an insurance intermediary, what Stuart mentioned today has to be very soothing words. While disruption is affecting the industry, Stuart gives plenty of reasons to feel confident the brokers will survive and how they will find success. In a sales process, so many are timid about asking for payment, even though they have earned that sale. Stuart's point about waiting the payment for a product at one-third of the sales process should send some brokers back to the drawing board about how they can better serve their clients. Where Stuart really provided insight was on both a granular and higher level about how the industry is changing and will keep changing. His points about collecting money in an efficient and seamless way should lead brokers to solutions which can grow their business and find new business that can grow with them. I think everyone can agree that's the direction we all want to go with our businesses. So thanks again, Stuart, for all the great insight.
Thanks for listening to the Insurance Podcast, brought to you by Tessier Insurance Consulting. Keep up to date with the show by visiting theinsurancepodcast.com and find us on social media via Twitter and Instagram.